And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today we're going to have another volume of secrets. That's right. That's right. We'll cover anywhere from 8 or 10 things to 12 or 15. And, you know, I always keep a little file here on my desk. And when I get a document or something of interest, especially things that are secret to the average human being, because the media just can't stand it for you to find out about these kinds of things, I love to, well, relate it to you. We'll chat about it and discuss it. Now, I've got a lot to talk about today. Did you know that the nation of Israel, that's the physical nation of Israel, they're in the Middle East, that Tel Aviv, which is the financial capital, they might really say there's two capitals inside Israel. There's Jerusalem, the old city, the spiritual capital of hell, because they've rejected Jesus, and so all they have is hell. It's not the Holy Land by any means. It's hell land. But there's another city named Tel Aviv. It was founded in 1909 by Lord Rothschild. He bought the land. He gave it to the Jewish settlers. Now, Tel Aviv is very close to the beach. And the interesting thing is, when you visit Israel, when you visit this modern city of Tel Aviv, you can drive down the freeway to the beach. And you'll see the Jewish people there, you know, running around in, you know, tight swim trunks and bikinis and all that. And it looks just like an American beach or one in, well, in Italy or maybe even in France. Feel like you're in California or Galveston, Texas. But in any case, while they're cavorting about shamelessly on all these beaches near Tel Aviv, they're also killing people. I mean, they're in Gaza, another place. They're treating the Palestinians like they're animals, because in the Jewish Talmud, a Palestinian, just like you and I, we're all animals. We're all donkeys. And so while they're killing all the Palestinians systematically, they themselves are forgetting about the woes and cares of this world by running around in their thongs and their bikinis and down on the beaches. And of course, the Palestinians have, don't let them fool you, they don't have any guns, they don't have any weapons, they don't have missiles, they don't have tanks. They don't have armored personnel carriers, jets. So the Israelis don't worry about them, really. Except when the Israelis get, you know, an opportunity to go out and kill some, they'll just put all their military together and go kill a bunch of them. But when they don't want to do that, they just go out to the beaches and they have their nightclubs. And now, what kind of nightclubs do they have? Did you know that Tel Aviv has been named... the gay homosexual capital of the world. I know you probably thought San Francisco was number one, but you're wrong. In fact, I have a film on powerofprophecy.com on my webpage, and it shows all these, you know, gay men and women of Israel dancing and parading about, and there's the transgenders and the cross-dressers and all the homos, and there's homo men saying, oh, yes, this is the great city. This is the city where we all can do whatever we want as gays. Well, think about that. Next time you hear somebody say, oh, that's the Holy Land, ask them what Sodom and Gomorrah have to do with the Holy Land. They themselves say that Tel Aviv is the gay capital of the world, and every year they have a great parade there. Oh, my goodness, they have all the gays come up and strut about in all of their Well, in any case, you know what I'm talking about. You know about those gay parades. Tel Aviv, the gay capital of the world. How did it get to that? Let me explain something to you, friends. The Bible says clearly that when you reject Jesus Christ and you begin to say that God is not a person, God is not a being in the sky, that the whole cosmos is God, which is what the Jewish theology teaches. They do. They say there's no personal God you can talk to. God is unknowing, ineffable, mysterious. He's only the first cause. So they don't really pray to God as such. And they reject Jesus Christ. Now, please, please let me explain. If you do not have the Son of God as your master, then you also do not know God. They go together. They're like a package deal. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all one. Did Texmar say that? Did Texmar say that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are all one? Of course I did. Go to 1 John in the Bible. It'll show you. There's three. Three. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You can't separate Jesus from God. You can't say, I believe in God, but not Jesus. You're a liar. The truth is not in you, my friends. The truth cannot be found in the man or woman who says, I don't know about Jesus. I do believe in God, however. No, you don't. You don't. And you are a liar. And you're an antichrist, too. There's going to be a great antichrist, a human being with Satan in him, but there's also an antichrist spirit. And all who reject Jesus are of the antichrist. Well, I know a man, or I know a woman, he's really a nice guy, and he treats his employees right, he has a company, and he doesn't believe at all in Jesus or the Bible, and surely he's not going to hell, and yes, he is. He has an opportunity right now. You better tell him about heaven and hell. Let him understand, if he doesn't know already. I'll bet he does. And tell him that he's got to worship Jesus. In fact, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Down in hell they'll bow, here on earth, and even up in heaven. Everywhere there's beings. And I don't care what kind of beings it is. There's all kinds of flesh and spirit materials in these cosmos. And every one of them, every type, every kind, must obey, must bow their knee to Jesus. That's what it says in Philippians. Read about it. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Friends, when you accept God, you've just started. You're not finished. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. You've got to believe in His Son. Who do you think created this planet? Who do you think appointed the stars in the sky and the sun and the moon and created the oceans and created you as a human being? That's right. He knows all DNA. He's a great mathematician. Is it God? Yes, it is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the creator because Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think about that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, you just say that to yourself, and you can't separate them, then, can you? They're together. They're linked. They're one. You know, I've got a little dog. He's just a little mutt. He's cute as can be. I love him. And I know something. I know if I were to rip my hands into his body, and with my own bare strength, I could probably pull his internal organs apart. I can literally take this little dog, he only weighs about 7 pounds, I could tear his heart out. I could tear his brains out. If I were that cruel, if I were that evil. But I don't do it because I know it would hurt him. I know it would end his life or her life. That's just a she. Little Maggie. They'd be over. Their life would be over. Now, God would maybe would reconstitute them someday if I ask him to. Just if it's the desire of your heart, God will give it to you in heaven. I believe that. Now, I know a lot of you don't think so. You think that's silly. But I want to tell you right now, if you've got a pet that you love, dog, cat, I don't care if it's a cow or a rabbit, you love it, it dies, it'll live again. The whole earth will be redeemed by Jesus Christ. Everything will be reconciled. Now, this is the same as God and Jesus. They're one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. How can that be? Well, there are mysteries that you and I know very little about. We didn't even know about DNA science and the genes till 1968 with three scientists in Great Britain. Think about that. We didn't have DNA evidence in blood and hair and bits of skin and all those. We didn't have any of that. Do you realize how lacking we are? The science and math that God knows is so much greater than what you and I know. But let me explain something to you, my friends. You can't separate God from Jesus. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from Jesus either. They're all the one. They're all together. Now, I will always get letters when I say that. But it's true. That's what the Bible says. There are three, and they are one. Now, I get letters sometime. Now, Brother Joel of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, wrote me a letter, and I love to get letters from Brother Joel. He's been a follower for many years. He's purchased a number of our books. And, well, he believes like we do in the conspiracy. But he says he has a problem because he goes to Pentecostal churches, and they believe in the regathering of the Jews in the last days, the regathering of the nation of Israel, and the promise from the Jews in a new covenant. There will be a new covenant for the Jews. And he says when he gets around Christians like that, that believe in a role for a physical Israel in the last days, they'll immediately throw Romans chapter 11, 25 through 27 at him. They claim this is spiritual proof that Israel will rule via the Jews in the millennium and beyond. The Jews will rule in the millennium. Romans 11, 25 through 27 says so. Well, Brother Joel says, I'd like to know how to answer them about this. What do you say, Tex? I say they're full of poppycock, whatever that means. I don't know, some kind of silly concoction. Now listen to me very carefully. And let me read to you what Romans 11, 25 through 27 says. In fact, you need to read all of Romans chapter 11. Don't take out that little bitty verse, but let's just, for the sake of answering these false teachers, these that don't even understand, they don't even read the whole Bible. Romans chapter 11, verses 25, 27. Let's see what it says. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay, now let's stop right there. What does God say? Blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So Israel, which is a nation, is greater than a nation. See, because The Israel of God is the people of God, and it has two parts. And God names them in verse 25. Now, I don't know why these Pentecostals can't read for themselves. But let's read 25. How many parts does Israel have? It has two. One is the physical nation of Israel. The second one are the Gentiles that are not part of the physical nation of Israel. So there's Jews and there's Gentiles. Would you say that's true, my friends? God has either made you a Jew or a Gentile. There's two parts there, aren't there? Of course there are. And most of physical Israel, the physical Jews, are just blind. They're blind. Meanwhile, while they're blind, Gentiles have been discovering the riches and treasures that are found in Jesus Christ. Think about that. While the Jews reject Jesus, hate him, despise him, the Gentiles are coming into fullness. They're learning more and more about Jesus. They're believing in him. They're becoming spirit-filled Christians, but not the Jews, because the Jews have rejected him. So there you have the Jews, and then you have the Gentiles. Now let's go on to 26. It says, and so all Israel shall be saved. Oh, can I wait? After as many Gentiles as God wants have come into the kingdom, have accepted and become part of Jesus Christ, believe in him, and are born again in spirit and truth, after that, then God takes on what he wants to of the Jews. And so all Israel, both the Jews and the Gentiles that are of God, will be saved. Do you understand that? First, he talks about the Jews and the Gentiles, verse 25. Then in verse 26, he says, so all Israel shall be saved, the Jews and the Gentiles. Don't you see, in just two verses, he talks about the Jews and the Gentiles, and that all of them will be saved who believe in him. Now let's read it again. And so all Israel shall be saved. What is all of Israel? He just told you it was the Jews and the Gentiles. He just told you right in 25. Then he says, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Who's that? The deliverer. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, Jacob is a word meaning basically Israel. The deliverer will turn all ungodliness away. He will bring the truth. He will deliver the people. Wow. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, God will take away the sins of the Gentiles, but also of the Jews. How does he do it? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he offered salvation. He died on the cross. He willingly went to the cross. And through that great sacrifice, we have redemption. The Jews have redemption. The Gentiles have redemption. All of Israel has redemption. Now, do you get that, Brother Joel? That's what to tell the Jews. That's what to tell the Pentecostals. They're there saying, well, the Jews are going to rule the world in the millennium. Can you tell me where it says that? I just read verses 25 and 26, 27. It doesn't say anything about the millennium there. It doesn't say one word about the millennium. It also doesn't say anything about them ruling the world. They are going to be exactly like the Gentiles if they accept Jesus. But even the Gentiles are not going to be part of Israel unless they accept Jesus. Now, look at Romans 11, right before that, in that same chapter 11. Verses 2 and 5. In that same chapter, Romans 11, it says, even so then, at this present time, in the days of the Apostle Paul, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant of Jews. A remnant. How many is that? That's only a small part. Now, my wife is a quilter. She makes quilts. I don't know how she does it, but she puts them all together and has all these patterns, and she has fun doing it, too. She enjoys it. And sometimes she goes to the stores, and they say there's a big special today on remnants. On remnants. You know, there's a half yard of this fabric and a quarter of a yard of that fabric. She doesn't have enough, usually, to make a whole bedspread with the remnant. That's why she makes a quilt. A quilt. So she can put this part for this remnant and this part in there and mix it all together. A patchwork quilt. How about that? A patchwork quilt. She has all these remnants. And it's a lot cheaper that way than buying one big, you know, kind of patterned cloth. It's better to buy a bunch of little remnants and make a patchwork quilt. Now, I'm speaking of something I'm not quite sure of there, but I believe that's true. I'll have to ask Miss Wanda about that. And even when Paul lived, he was a Jew. He was a Jew. And he says, even at this present time, there is a remnant. According to what? The election of grace. Wow. Even in Paul's time, the Jews could be saved. They could be saved, not by their own covenant, because that covenant was thrown out. It was thrown out when the new covenant came in. What is the new covenant? Jesus Christ. He brought the new covenant. And Jews could be saved, or Gentiles could be saved. Jews and Gentiles could be saved, and all of them would be considered Israel. Isn't that fantastic? Now, that instruction came from a Jewish man, the Apostle Paul, who was very intellectual or intelligent. He could speak about four languages. He was a teacher of the Jews, came out of the ranks of the Jewish elite. And he said, in Romans 11, 26, 27, he says, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." That's the covenant when a person has their sins taken away. Oh, well, now only a Gentiles have their sins taken away. Are you sure, friend? Are you sure? The grace of Jesus reaches out to all men everywhere throughout the world, all races, all tongues, all nations. That's the Great Commission. Read about it there at the end of the Gospel of Mark. That's what we're supposed to do, go forth and preach to all nations. That would mean Israel. That would mean Saudi Arabia. That would mean Germany. That would mean England. That would mean everywhere, wouldn't it? Because all men are called to salvation. Because, my friends, someday, it may be on this planet, or it may be after you passed away, and I pray that it isn't, you will meet up with Zion, the deliverer. You will meet up with the deliverer. Maybe too late for you. I don't know. But if you believe in him, and your time hasn't already come and gone, then turn away from your sins, my friends. So and the election means all of us, Jew and Gentile. You know, people are all the time writing trash about Tex Mars. Tex teaches that Jews can't be saved. That's about as silly as can be. Anybody can be saved. Anybody who is chosen by Jesus Christ, and believes, and is accepted into the fold, because Jesus knows his own. Oh, he knows every one of them. You know, I met a man not too long ago, and he went out to see, I'd read in the paper that he had a puppy for sale. So one and I are looking for a new puppy, so we went and saw these puppies. He had about 15 in his house. He was a sort of what they call a breeder. And he knew most of their names. I don't know if he was making it up as we went along. You know, this is a little so-and-so, this is a little... He was pronouncing all their names. How could that be? Their little puppies. Well, I don't know how he did it. Probably making up names as he went along. But Jesus knows your name if you belong to him. And you know what? If you don't belong to him, he won't accept you. Oh, no, don't try to go in that gate. You try to go in and he'll say, wait just a minute, my friend. You don't belong in here. All right. Now, do you understand Romans chapter 11? Now, also, Sister Alice from Elmore City, Oklahoma, wrote to me and wrote me a very interesting letter. She says, it seems to me the most compelling proof that the Jews have no inherent right to Israel, the physical nation of Israel, is Jesus' parable, Mark 12, verses 1 through 9. It's clear to me that Jesus is speaking there of himself as the son in the parable. Verse 9 then says, what then shall the Lord of the vineyard do? Remember that? That's the story of the vineyard. And the people lease out or rent out the vineyard, but then they refuse to give the Lord of the vineyard his share. They've rented out the vineyard. They're getting all the blessings of the vineyard, the fruit and so forth. But they don't want to give up just a share of it to the Lord of the vineyard. Now, he sends all his messengers to try to convince these people and just talk to them and bring them to an understanding. They don't want anything to do with it. In fact, they get mad and kill the ones whom the Lord sends. Sound like the Jews to you, my friends? Oh, yes, they've killed all the prophets, all the saints. Then finally, the Lord gets upset and says, I'll send my son to them. Surely they'll listen to my son. But the Jews don't. The Jews say, you know what? This is the son. They all conspire together. Just like the Jews are conspiring against Jesus today. They conspire together and they say, this is the son of the Lord of the vineyard. This is the son. He's come to collect. He's come to tell us we've got to give the share to the Lord. We don't want to do that. We want to keep this vineyard for ourselves. It's ours. We've been working it. What is the Lord of the vineyard? He hadn't been here. We have been. We're Israel. We're Jews. We own this vineyard. You know, this son of the Lord, he's the inheritor. He's going to inherit this vineyard. Why should he inherit it? We want to inherit it. Let's kill him. Let's kill him, and then this vineyard will be ours. So they do. They kill him. They take the son. They beat him. They stone him. They kill him. Well, it asks the question in Mark chapter 12. What then shall the Lord of the vineyard do when he returns? And Jesus answered and said, he will destroy the husbandman and give the vineyard to others. That's what he affirms as the truth. Think about that. He's going to destroy the husbandman. He's going to destroy the people. The Jews better listen to that. They better read Mark chapter 12. But if they will listen to the Son, if they will listen and they will give the share and not be greedy and not try to take the inheritance for themselves, if they will be of Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord, then they will be saved. Otherwise, they will be destroyed. But they can be saved. The remnant who believes will receive the election of grace. That's the key. All right. Now, when we return in a minute, we've got so much to tell you about. So many more secrets, I guess you could say. And we're going to get right to them when we return in just a moment. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. The Matrix of Gog. The Matrix of Gog. You know, we recently published this book by Daniel Patrick. The subtitle is, From the Land of Magog Came the Khazars to Destroy and Plunder. This is the first book that I have ever read by a Christian writer that explains the meaning of Gog and Magog. So many people don't understand it. A lot of people have theorized that Gog and Magog come from Russia. Maybe they do. Because Russia conquered the kingdom of Khazaria. And the people there had converted from paganism to Judaism. They're the Jews of today. And over 90% of all Jews actually are Khazarians. That's proven by DNA science. Just read my book, DNA Science and the Bloodline of the Jews. Along comes Daniel Patrick to write this great book, The Matrix of Gog. And I'll tell you, it talks about who Gog is, and Gog does come from Magog. And the Bible confirms that in the last days, the children of God, that's all the Christians, will be in what is called the camp of the saints. You ever think about that, friends? We're going to suffer persecution. We're going to have to come together as one. We're going to have to get rid of the heretics and all the those that don't really believe in the truth and come together as Christians to fight this world system of evil and tribulation. It says so in Ezekiel. It says so in the book of Revelation. The children of the saints, that's the camp of the saints. But the camp of the saints is being battered and being attacked and being persecuted by the rest of the world. The rest of the world, Satan, his Antichrist, the followers of evil, and boy, there's billions of them. There really are. But the camp of the saints keep themselves from the evil one. How do they do it? They're the overcomers. They believe in Jesus. And they're going to have we're all going to have a great victory in the last days. And we're going to overcome Gog. Who is Gog? The people. The leader of that great system of injustice, deviltry in the last days. The Bible says it, read it in Revelation, the camp of the saints comes up against the devil. You know, they're the only ones, really. We're the only ones that can take on the devil, that can defeat him, that have the power to do so. Now, we're offering this book by Daniel Patrick, The Matrix of Gog, and we want you to have it for your love gift of just $18. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $23. And send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, you can also order the book on our website and just go to textmars.com or powerofprophecy.com. Then you use your charge card, whatever it is, and your PayPal account or whatever, and get this great book. By the way, this book is a bestseller on Amazon.com. You can order it there too. But I hope you'll order it from us because we use every little profit that we can to keep the ministry going and especially Power of Prophecy radio program. I want to remind you, of course, you can order this book or any of our books or videos. And you can get our newsletter every month just by phoning us, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. All right, now let's return to our regular program. Okay, now, you know, a lot of people ask me, how is it that the Jews and Tel Aviv are the homosexual capital of the world? They are. The homosexual capital of the world. Every year they have a huge parade there. Now, did you know that this is a punishment from God? Homosexuality People aren't born like that. They get a spirit. They get a demonic spirit. That's how they become homosexual. And after the Jews had rejected Jesus, remember Jesus prophesied against the temple and against the Jews? And in 70 AD, something tragic happened to Israel, to Jerusalem. What was that? What happened? They were destroyed, just as Jesus said. And even the temple was torn down stone after stone. It happened in 70 AD. The Roman general Titus destroyed it. How did it occur? It occurred because the Jews had rebelled against the Romans. They were rebellious people. They hated the Romans because the Romans were Gentiles. And so the Jewish people stirred up so much trouble throughout the Roman Empire till finally the Romans said, we're going to go and take Jerusalem and destroy it forever. We're going to burn down their city, destroy the great temple. And so about 65 AD, just as Jesus prophesied, the Romans laid siege to the great city and finally destroyed it in 70 AD. And the Roman general Titus was the one that did it. Now, interestingly enough, there were three factions in Jerusalem. I'm reading to you from the book entitled The Jews in the Roman World by Michael Grant. The Jews in the Roman World. This is an excellent book, by the way. It says there were three principal Jewish factions in Jerusalem. These three did not even agree with each other, but they all agreed on one thing. They all wanted to destroy the Romans. They wanted to make the Jews, you know, the kingpins of that area of the world. They thought that God would give them the victory. What they didn't know was that God was against Israel, and God was against that temple built by Herod, and God was against these three factions of Jews. Three different groups of Jews. Now, one was the Galilean gangs from Galilee of John of Giscala. Yes, there's a John of the Bible, but there was also a John of Giscala. Now, Josephus, the famous Jewish historian, wrote about John of Giscala. Now, I want to read to you what he had to say. Now, think about it. Now, we're going to see how the Jews, once they rebelled against Jesus Christ and crucified him, then they all fell into horrible disrepute. Friends, you do something horrible to our Lord and Savior and fall into sin that way, and God then is going to take you and you're going to end up worse, much worse than you ever were. This is true for homosexuality. You start getting involved in this sexual sin, this horrible misbehavior, and God's going to take you further down the road to hell than you ever imagined you could travel. Don't do that. Don't go into lesbianism. Don't go into homosexuality. Now, these Jews that were obeyers or followers of John of Giscala all said, we're going to conquer the Romans. They were one of three factions of Jews that fought, that the Romans had laid siege to. Now, the Romans were very clever. They said, why should we attack? Their siege lasted 5 years, 5 years. And hundreds of thousands of Jews were brought into Jerusalem, into the city. And they were besieged by the Romans. Titus was very clever. He knew these three Jewish groups were fighting each other as well as him. They were fighting each other. Well, he says, as long as they're fighting each other, I'm just going to let them kill each other. They constantly were fighting and bickering against each other. They couldn't get their heads together. They were looting each other, destroying each other's homes, stealing from each other, robbing each other, killing each other. This is what happens to thieves. There's no honor among thieves. These were a bunch of Jewish thieves, and they had killed our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, there they were, three gangs of them. Three principal Jewish factions. And even though Titus had ordered a pause and said, let's not attack them until they've killed each other off. It didn't help the Jews because they were fighting each other. Josephus, the great historian, said so. In fact, Josephus actually went into Jerusalem and began to tell the people there, if you will give up to the Romans, they will not kill all of you. If you will simply, you know, just happened in the days of Babylon and Jeremiah, if you will simply give up to them. Well, they told Josephus, the Jewish historian, what they thought about his ideas. He was forced to flee. They threw rocks at him and tried to kill him, screamed epithets at him. So the siege continued. Now, I want to tell you what kind of people these were. Listen to this, the Galilean gangs of John of Giscala. Here's what Josephus said about them. Quote, not content with looting throughout the city, they unscrupulously indulged in effeminate practices. Oh boy, this is one third of the Jews in the city, one third of them, approximately. They were not content with looting the city. They unscrupulously indulged in effeminate practices, plaiting their hair and attiring themselves in women's apparel. They were cross-dressers. They were gender benders, my friends. They were a bunch of homosexual gays. One third of the Jews in effeminate practices. They were men, but they were acting like women. They plaited their hair. Ooh, how pretty. Mm-hmm. They attired themselves in women's apparel, but they were men. Josephus says they drenched themselves with perfumes. They drenched themselves with perfumes and painted their eyelids to enhance their beauty. Oh, these were some soldiers, weren't they? Think about the Romans meeting these people in combat. There were a bunch of queers. Plaiting their hair, attiring themselves, that's wearing women's apparel, drenching themselves with perfume, and painting their eyelids. Oh, yes, beautiful colors to enhance their beauty. Yet, writes Josephus, while they wore women's faces, their hands were murderous. Oh, yes, they were like a bunch of butches. They were murderous. While they wore women's faces, while they dressed in women's clothes, while they plaited their hair, and they wore women's apparel, and they drenched themselves with perfumes, and painted their eyelids to enhance their beauty, their hands were murderous. And approaching with mincing steps, that's little bitty steps, you know, sneaking up behind you and such, they would suddenly become warriors, and whipping out their swords from under their dyed mantles, transfix whomsoever they met. They would sneak up behind you, dressed like a woman, pull out their swords from underneath their women's clothing, and stab you in the back. Now, the other factions of Jews, quote, who had decided to remain in the city, found these degenerate practices distasteful. And they made war on John of Giscala and his gay league, you might call them, gay warriors. They drove the followers of John, these gay warriors, into the middle of the city, including the outer precinct of the temple. That goes on from there. Now, I want you to understand, you see, even though they were fighting the Romans, they'd go out at night and do all these sexual things with each other. And now, of course, look at American soldiers. Look at American airmen, Navy people. Marines. A gay man? No problem. Do you think we're going to have any kind of a military? Do you think we've got military warriors? No, we're going to have a bunch of gays in there. Well, in any case, the Jews in the Roman world, a bunch of queers. That's what they are now. Think about it. Tel Aviv has become the homosexual capital of the world. Just like in these days, they rebelled, they killed the Savior, and they just degenerated into sexual horrors. Hey, a lot of people I'm seeing all the time are giving the sign of Satan. Have you noticed that on these TV shows? Everywhere. Not only the music people, it seems that everyone is, you know, using their right hand or their left hand. They're doing the sign of the horned devil, which is El Diablo. They have their two middle fingers tucked in, and that causes an appearance of horns. Now, I know that the University of Texas has that as their sign, hook 'em horns. But I don't think the average Texas Longhorn fan thinks of it as a satanic thing. But I'm not so sure about the music people. They see it as sex and Satan. That's true. I talk about it in my book, of course, Codex Magica. Now, how did we come up with this sign? Well, in the late 60s, when everything was going bad in America and all the music of the Beatles was in and so forth, you can see right on the cover of the Beatles album Yellow Submarine in 1969, John Lennon's right hand is making the sign of Satan. Another a rock star named Dio popularized the sign of the horn in what was called heavy metal rock music. And Ozzy Osbourne, oh yes, Ozzy Osbourne gave the sign of Satan, the horned god Diablo. Well, today it's everywhere. I see former President Bill Clinton giving it. I see Obama giving it. But why shouldn't they? They are all obeying Satan, are they not? Well, you know, the Army, the Navy, all of the branches of service are warning the chaplains they cannot serve Jesus Christ any longer. Now, you may not like me saying that, but it's true. In fact, one Army chaplain, his name is Joseph Lawhorn, has just been punished for sharing his faith. Now, he did it at a suicide prevention session. They asked him to go talk to the group. You see, too many people in the military are committing suicide. They're killing themselves. And the military says, we got to do something about this. Our people are killing themselves. So the 5th Ranger Training Battalion, that's the Army group that Army Chaplain Joseph Lawhorn is attached to, went to speak to the people about how to struggle with depression. Well, for his trouble, he was punished by the battalion commander, who wrote the Chaplain Lawhorn a letter and accused him of, listen, using Christian scripture and solutions during the training session. Ooh, wasn't he a terrible man? He actually used Christian solutions, Christian scripture, so that the people would not kill themselves. Think about it. Isn't that the job of a army chaplain? Shouldn't he tell the people what the Bible says, what Jesus will do for them, so that they won't kill themselves, so they won't despair, so they won't be deluded into taking their own lives? It seems like they should give this Chaplain Lawhorn a medal of some kind. They should have given him a medal. But they accused him of using scripture and Christianity. They told him, if you do this again, we will get rid of you. Man, that's just... Meanwhile, the state of Minnesota, it seems that the state high school league, they're the ones that oversee all the kids' sports in high schools, has decided to allow transgender, that's either male or female, depending on what you want to be, who identify as a female to play on girls' sports programs. In other words, if you're a man, a big, gangly, muscular man, you just go in and tell the coach, I'm a girl. You can be a man, a real man, look like a man, have every bit of equipment like a man, you know what I'm talking about, but say, I want to be a girl and I want to be on the girls' team. Now, frankly, I would kick a guy like that. I mean, if he wanted to play football, I'd kick him so far he'd be off the field entirely. Wouldn't you? But in Minnesota, they'd probably fire the coach. If this man, this transgender who's really gay, wants to be a girl, you got to let him play with the girls. What are the parents going to do about this horrible thing? Well, evidently, the parents that really care are putting their kids in private schools. They're taking them out of the Minnesota schools. because they're outraged about it. And parents should be outraged. If you're from Minnesota, you ought to say no to this. This is creating unsafe conditions for the girls on the team. You can't allow men to take showers with your daughters, my friends. On these sport teams, it's just sick. Well, let's see what else we've got here. Ah, yes. The terrorist influx. Did you know that the immigration problem is not our only problem? You see, thousands and thousands of illegals say that they're refugees. For example, we have evidently placed more than 100,000 Somalis from the nation of Somalia in Africa. 100,000 have come to America. They're not called immigrants, but they've been given favored spots. They've been allowed to come into America, and they're getting all kind of payments from our welfare agencies. And they're living in places like Maine, Ohio, Colorado, Southern California. In fact, Minneapolis is such a popular location for these Somalis that it's been nicknamed Little Mogadishu. Little Mogadishu. More than 800 Somalis a month are entering the United States. 800 Somalis a month. There's no quotas for them. They say, I may be persecuted in my home country. Whether they are or not, they're allowed in as refugees. Well, Somalia is not the only country. Did you know that in the city of Sacramento, there lives 80,000 people from the Ukraine? The city of Sacramento is not large at all. And there's 80,000 Ukrainians living there. They did not come in as immigrants. They came in by the preferred path of calling themselves refugees. It appears that we have hundreds of thousands of refugees. A gentleman wrote me a letter not too long ago, and he said he was driving south of Minneapolis, and he passed, you know, on this highway that really doesn't have many people on it, and suddenly he saw they were building new apartments. Far away from the city, far away from anywhere, they were building apartment after apartment after apartment, hundreds, maybe thousands of new apartments and apartment buildings. So he went off the highway to go see what was going on. Who were all these people? Well, turned out they were all Somalis. You know, black people from Somalia. They were supposed refugees. And they were all being paid money from Social Security and from all other kinds of different funds. And they were given free apartments to live in, free phones, free food, everything. He said, what's going on? They said, well, these are all Somalian refugees. We're building apartments for them. Now, what's going to happen when America is full of all these refugees from Somalia and the Ukraine? Let me tell you what's happening, friends. Now, the United States is going in behind these 80,000 Ukrainians in Sacramento, and they're recruiting. They're recruiting a Ukrainian army. And we're going to bring that army, and we're going to jet it back into Ukraine, and we're going to fight a war with Russia. The Ukrainians that are trained by Americans inside America will be brought to the Ukraine, and they will fight other Ukrainians and kill each other in a war there. And in Somalia, we will bring all of these Somalis back. We will train them in the United States to be terrorists, to be soldiers, and then we will ship them or fly them into Somalia, and we will carry on a war there. And so the United States is going to destabilize Africa, the Middle East, and much of the known world. We're going to destabilize all these countries in South America, Venezuela, and the other countries. We bring them in to our country as refugees. We train them to be terrorists, and we inject them in the countries overseas. My friends, this is diabolical. This is diabolical. Now, here's something interesting. This is a story from the San Francisco Bay View newspaper, January 2015. A nurse, Paul Spector. He was a captain in the United States Army, but he's now retired. Paul Spector. He speaks out in this newspaper. He says, I am on a mission to stop torture in the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Folks, I read this article, I almost couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Did you know in California, at the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, there is physical abuse of patients? Physical abuse, mental, sexual. And you won't believe what happens there. Torment. And horrible things. They have shock treatment for these patients. And many of them are confined to a small cement box 24 hours a day with no exercise, no yard privileges, no sunlight. There's disease there. There's psychological danger, deaths, no effective medical care. He says this is worse than the death camps in Europe during World War II. And the doctors, the psychologists, and so forth are immune to legal or ethical restraints. They're all abusers. These patients have pain, hopelessness. They're sexually degraded. And they have terrible threats on their lives. And many of the officers at these correctional facilities, many of the officers have experience in military prisons. That's how Paul Spector knows. They take them from the military where they tortured these foreign people in all these foreign prisons, and now they're torturing civilians. You put your elderly father or sister or mother there, and you find out later they're being tortured. Being tortured in these places. And the CIA is involved. And there's all kinds of overdoses of mind control drugs being given to these people. And they have hallucinations and psychosis. Well, my friends, our houses to take care of these people who have mind problems. And many of these are people who've taken drugs. They've lost their minds. They took drugs. And so it's a cycle of horrors and abuses going on in these prisons. And I can understand why it would be in California, don't you? But it's now gaining attention in all of the state facilities. We're becoming a nation of degenerate torturers. That's what we are. We must pray for these victims, and we must pray for their relief, for their help. May Jesus Christ be with these people and give them assistance and help. Well, I'm Tex Mars. We've covered a lot of things today. It's been great being with you, my friend. We've covered a lot of secrets. I wish we had more time. But we'll be back again, won't we? In fact, we're going to be back next week talking about, something important, though. I'll go through my file. We'll find some secrets, and we'll present them. May God bless you, my friend, and pray for Jesus to help us in these perilous times. And tune in and discover the power of prophecy.